Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on the top of the Amid at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to discuss the halachas of the Sukkah Schach. Of the Schach, what may be kosher Schach, what's possible Schach, under what circumstances. Says the Mishnah, Tikra She'en Olam Neziva, a roof that's made out of boards, the boards are 4 tefachim wide each, and there is no plaster on this roof. So there are two issues when we look at this roof. One is that this roof was made as a roof of a home, and therefore, since it wasn't made for the purpose of tzeil, of shade, to give shade, as we learned previously, such a roof is not acceptable as the schach of a sukkah. The other issue with this roof is what we discussed extensively in the previous year, is that since the boards are wider than 4 tefachim, we learned the Rameya holds that boards that are wider than 4 tefachim are disqualified schach. So says the Mishnah, Tikra She'en Olam Neziva, it has no plaster. The Ran says, obviously, if it had plaster being a material which is disqualified to be used as schach, the roof of such a structure would automatically be disqualified. So there is no plaster. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beshamai Omer, Beshamai tell us what should be done is the fakbake, to loosen the boards, and by loosening and lifting each and every one of the boards, we accomplish that we don't have, that we take away the problem of tassa v'loimina osoi, because by picking them up and putting them down again, l'shem tzeil, for the sake of shade, for the sake of the mitzvah, he has proper schach. And furthermore, v'noitel achs min ha'tayim, he should also remove one board for between every two boards and replace it with proper schach, which is shown in diagram 80 on page 27. The Bach actually adds that it's not just enough to lift the posel schach and replace it with kosher schach. What we should really do is, as shown in diagram 76, have 8 tefachim of kosher schach in the middle of the sukkah, which will give us the minimum size of a kosher sukkah, and then although the areas on the side are not completely qualified, it would not affect the kashrus of the sukkah. Well, Beis Hillel disagree. They say mefakbek, it's either enough either to loosen the boards or to replace every 4 tefachim of non-kosher schach with kosher schach. The only option to be followed in this situation is to replace every 4 tefachim of posel schach, then mefakbek. Lifting the boards is not an option in this Mishnah. And there's a machloikis between the Maralbach and the Magen Avraham. The Maralbach says that in a situation where there were plaster, so says the Maralbach, just lifting the plaster would not be an adequate correction of the concern of tassav leimen osoy. The only way to correct the issue of tassav leimen osoy, says Maralbach, is as the Mishnah teaches us, by lifting the boards. However, the Magen Avraham says taking off the plaster is certainly even more effective than just lifting the boards, and therefore in a case where we had these boards and the plaster, to remove the concern of tassav leimen osoy, just remove the plaster, showing that you don't intend that this should be a full-fledged roof. And the Mishnah Brura paskins like the Magen Avraham. There's a machloikis Rashi in Rosh. According to Rashi, the way to accomplish mefakbek is by lifting every one of the boards. However, the Rosh says by removing the nails, that is enough of a way of correcting, and it will take the place of lifting the boards. The Karbon Nesanel has a different interpretation of the Rosh, and according to him, what the Rosh is saying is that it's not enough just to take pick up the boards, you have to remove the nails. So in other words, the Rosh is saying do both. Pick up the boards and remove the nails. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam Beis Hillel. We could understand Beis Hillel explanation of the Mishnah. Tamayu, their concern with the roof of the Mishnah, the roof of the sukkah described in the Mishnah is Mishum Tasev Loi Min Asui and Mifakbik, and by lifting the boards of Loi Maisa, he's picking up and lifting them L'shem Tzeil, and he corrects that concern. Oi Notl Achs Min Atayim, or if he takes one board between every two boards and fills it with Val Tzchach, that's another way of Ovid Be Maisa, of making a proper schach on the sukkah. El Beis Shammai, but let's try to understand in Beis Shammai, my tamayu, what is their reasoning in our Mishnah? If their concern is because of Tas V'Loi Min Asui, b'chad esagi, either do pikbuk or do noitel achs min atayim, as Beis Hillel told us. E mishum gzeres tikra, if they're saying that there's a concern, as we learned in the previous year, when using boards that are four tefachim or wider, so then benoitel achs min atayim sagi, the only option is to replace every second board with kosher schach. And what's the point of doing pikbuk? Answers the Gemara, lo'olam mishum gzeres tikra. The concern that Beis Shammai said is only concerned with the gzeres tikra. And this is how to understand Beis Shammai the Mishnah. Afa pishim afak beik, Beis Shammai is teaching us that even though the person lifted up the boards, if he afterwards lifted every other board in, then that will be a valid sukkah. Eloi, not doing that will leave the sukkah invalid. Loi, because we have here a concern of this tikra, of these boards that are four tefachim wide, and that cannot be corrected in any other way besides by replacing some of the pasul schach. Ask the Gemara if that's the explanation of Beis Shammai. Yehochi Eim Sefer. Let's understand what it says in the Sefer in the Mishnah. In the Sefer it says, Remeya Oimer Noitel Achs Min Atayim. The only option here is to lift one, the disqualified boards and replace it with kosher schach. Avlo yifakpik, lifting the boards, loosening the boards alone is not adequate. Ask the Gemara, the way we explain Beis Shammai, Remeir Haina Beis Shammai, Remeir and Beis Shammai saying the same thing. Answers the Gemara, Hochikomer. What Pshat and Remeir in the Mishnah is, Lo nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel b'davazeh. There is no disagreement. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that we have a machloikus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, because the way Rabbi Yehuda is explaining, Beis Hillel does not subscribe to the concern of Gezeiras Tikra. Says Ramey, of course Beis Hillel is concerned with Gezeiras Tikra. And therefore, according to Beis Hillel, also, the only option here is Noitel Achs Min Atayim. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashman, so what is Ramey essentially teaching us in the Mishnah? Ramey is like Gezeiras Tikra. Ramey is concerned with Gezeiras Tikra, because he says that even Beis Hillel, who we always follow, is concerned with Gezeiras Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda says, less like Gezeiras Tikra. We're not concerned with Gezeiras Tikra because he subscribes such a position to Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara, v'fliga b'chad azimna. That's a machlokes we already had in the previous Mishnah. The Tanan, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, Mesachim ben Asarim, de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda allows us to use these boards. V'remeya Iser. And Ramey doesn't allow us. So the question is, why do we have to have the same machlokes repeated twice? And as the Pnei Yeshua explains, the Gemara's question is not on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah really is taking the concept of Gzeiras Tikra a step further, and is not only limiting it to a situation, not only speaking about is there a Gzeiras Tikra or not, it's also speaking how a Gzeiras Tikra situation can be corrected. But the Gemara's Kasha, as explains the Pnei Yeshua, is on the previous Mishnah. What do I need the previous Mishnah? Everything that's taught and learned in the previous Mishnah is already included in this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Reishim ben Asar Meshupim Maskinen. The Gemara says now that perhaps the Machloikis in the previous Mishnah was not regarding wide boards, tikra, but rather it was discussing smoothed boards, as shown in diagram 81. And the shaila is umshum gzeiris kelim nagba. And the question is, should we disallow such schach? Because if one will allow you to use these kind of smoothed, polished boards, one may use full-fledged vessels, utensils for schach, which of course are not permissible because they're makabel tuma. Ask the Gemara, or Rehuda Marav the Omar, according to Rehuda Marav that says, Sikhe Bechitzin, if somebody used a sukkah, used arrows to cover a sukkah, Sikharim, we learned this Gemara earlier in the week, if it's male, that only has a piece sticking out, don't have any hole, don't have any receptacle, Taloch is Ksheira. In the Kavis, however, the female arrows that have a hole, so they have a receptacle, Psula, they're disqualified Tzchach. V'loy Gozer, and we didn't learn that Zecharim at Nekevis, that since Nekevis spears are also to be used as Tzchach, we should not be allowed to use Zecharim. Similarly here too, Hocha Namloy Nigz and Nesarim is Shupim at Kalim. Just because Kalim may not be used, we're not allowed to use, that doesn't mean that we should not be allowed to use smoothed boards, because we don't make such Gzeris. So we're back to where we started. The Gemara's question is, here we see that the previous Mishnah must be speaking about Gezeris Tikra. Our Mishnah, the way we're explaining it, is also speaking about Gezeris Tikra. And the question is, why do we need two Mishnayos to teach us the same Halacha? And as the Rav explains, the Gemara's question is not from the fact that we saw Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara's proof is not from the fact that we saw Rav and Shmuel in explaining the previous Mishnah, explained it regarding a question about how large the boards are, what Rav Meir holds, what Rav Yehuda holds. Because the Ra'ah says, we could say that Rav and Shmuel made their statements about Rav Meir of Yehuda, but they weren't speaking about any specific Mishnah. And they might have just been speaking about this Mishnah. But now that we prove that there is no other way of explaining the previous Mishnah other than saying that it's speaking about Tikra, so the Gemara's question is, why do we need two Mishnahs to teach us the same din? Ella, says the Gemara, Akachach Resha, the previous Mishnah speaking about this issue about how wide the boards are, the safer Pligi B'Gzeres Tikra, as our Mishnah is discussing the same subject. But Pligi B'Tarat Zimni Lomeli, why must they argue about the same subject twice? Safer, says the Gemara, the answer is that safer Yehuda, the Ka'amale Rameya. Yehuda is telling Rameya, Amayka and Sartim Nisarim, why do you hold that you're not allowed to use wide boards? Shungzer's Tikra. Because there's a concern that one may think that you're sitting under a regular roof, or may come to sit under a regular roof. Says the Gemara, Hai Svaru Labeshavi Hudislay. Says Rabbi Yehuda Tremeya, who subscribes to such a concern? It's only Rabbi Shammai, or Beis Hillel Loi Gazri. It's not Beis Hillel that would subscribe to such a concern. So are you going to agree with Beis Shammai? Says Rabbi Yehuda to Rameya, Vam Rameya, so Rameya responds, Lo Nechelku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel B'davar Zeh. There is no disagreement. I hold that Beis Hillel also subscribes to this concern of Gzeiris Tikra. In the previous year, and we mentioned it in passing a moment ago, we had a Machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, how to understand the Machloikis Rameya and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav explained that Rav Yehuda is never concerned with the Gzeiris Tikra. And even with boards that are 4 tefachim wide, he says you could use such boards for schach. Rameh is the one that has the concern. That's how Rav explained. That explanation works very well with the way the Mishnah, the way the Gemara just explained our Mishnah. The Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing. Is there a Gzeiris Tikra? Is there not a Gzeiris Tikra? But we had another, Shmuel offered another way of explaining the machloikas between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel said that everybody subscribes to Gzeiris Tikra. The only question is when do they subscribe to it? Ramey Shmuel said, holds that as soon as the board is three tefachim wide, we have a concern of Gzeres Tikra. And Rabbi Yehuda said it has to be four tefachim wide. So now the Gemara is going to ask, if according to Shmuel's explanation, everybody at one point agrees to the concern of Gzeres Tikra, so now we just explained our Mishnah that the machlokes between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda is, do Beis Hillel subscribe to Gzeres Tikra or not? But according to Shmuel's approach, certainly everybody agrees to the concern of Gzeres Tikra. So what? How will he explain the dialogue between Ramey and Rabbi Yehuda? Can't be a question, do Beis Hillel subscribe to Gzeres Tikra or not? Because Shmuel holds they certainly do. Everybody does at a certain point. Ask the Gemara. Ha nichol Rav. This explanation we just offered of our Mishnah works well according to Rav. The Ma'am Machlok V'Sheish Ben Arba, who said even when the boards are four tefachim wide, there still is a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rameyah. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that such a sukkah is kosher. The Rameyah, according to Rav's explanation, is like Zayir's Tikra. Rabbi Yehuda, less like Zayir's Tikra, does not at all subscribe to the concept of Zayir's Tikra. El l'shmul. But according to Shmuel's understanding, Darmavish ain't ben Arba Machlokes, that the Machlokes is when they're not four tefachim wide. Ava b'yesh ben Arba, if the boards are four tefachim wide, divrei hakol psula, everybody will agree. Even Rabbi Yehuda, that we're concerned with Gzeres Tikra, safe of my pligi. So what is Rabbi Meir adding in the safe of our Mishnah? He can't be saying to Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel agrees to Gzeres Tikra. Because according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda also agrees to Gzeres Tikra. Says the Gemara, b'betulei tikra kamifki. They're disagreeing how to effectively undo a tikra situation. Ma'asav abatla b'hachi. Rabbi Yehuda holds, by loosening the boards, lifting the boards, we undo a tikra situation. Or ma'asav abatla b'hachi, it doesn't work. So there's a machlokes Rashi in Ramban, how to understand our Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara this way. He says, everybody agrees, this is according to Shmuel, that using boards that are four tefachim wide is unacceptable. The question here is, says Rashi, is where one has a house, a regular roof, and it was built with boards of four tefachim. And he now wants to use that room with those four tefachim boards as a sukkah. Says Rashi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, lifting the boards will show that he doesn't mean that those boards should be there as a permanent structure for the house. It shows that his intention is that those boards should be l'shem tzeil, l'shem sukkah, and that's fine. And Ramea says, that's not enough. Since boards for tefachim are unacceptable, by lifting them and putting them down again, l'shem sukkah, you haven't accomplished anything. And I saw the Mefarshim explain, how can we understand the machlokes according to Rashi between Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda? Because the Meiri asks, according to Rashi's explanation, where we start with boards that are four tefachim wide, and we lift them with shem suk and put them down, it's fine. A person walking by doesn't know that that's what happened. And a person walking by sees, here I have a schach, here I have a sukkah with schach that look like a regular roof. Says the Meiri, that according to Rashi, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not concerned about that. It only has to be that I should know that I constructed the sukkah properly. Ramey, on the other hand, will hold, perhaps if lifting the schach and placing it properly would correct the concern for me. But there's the other people who are walking by that don't realize what happened here, and therefore this is not an effective means of correcting the Gzeres Tikra. However, the Ramban disagrees with this approach. Because the Ramban says, it makes no sense, he says. According to Rashi, if one were to take boards that were four tefachim wide and put them down on top of a sukkah l'shem schach, it would not be acceptable. Because we're saying now that everybody agrees, we're going according to Shmuel, that everybody agrees that schach that's four tefachim wide is not acceptable. Yet when somebody started off with a house that with boards that were four tefachim wide, and then lifts them and puts them down, that will make it better. Therefore, he explained that we're not dealing with boards. We're not dealing with boards that are 4 tefachim wide. Such a situation certainly cannot be corrected by lifting and placing down. Here we're dealing with boards that are less than 4 tefachim wide. However, they were put down to be full-fledged roof, not l'shem schach. And according to the Ramban, the machlokes here is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda holds that although these boards were put down to be a house, lifting them and putting them back down corrects that problem and makes it into an effective sukkah. And Rameya holds, since these boards, when they were put on top of this structure, were put to be a full-fledged roof, that problem cannot be just corrected by lifting and placing them down again. As we leave the sugya of Gzeiros Tikra, there's an interesting piece of Sfasemis. The Sfasemis says that we know the Mishnah Masechet Brachos, the beginning of Masechet Brachos says that although midaraisa, the Zman Krishma Shel Arvis is all night, Chazal told us that we should say Krishma Shel Arvis before Chatzos. Says the Rabbeinu Yoina, let's say it's after Chatzos, and a person did not say Krishma Shel Arvis, he should no longer say it. It's too late. And his proof is from Shofar on Shabbos. Even though midaraisa was supposed to blow the Shofar on Shabbos, Chazal say, don't blow the Shofar on Shabbos. Even though Chazal say, lulav should be taken on Sukkot, even if it's on Shabbos, Chazal say, don't take the lulav. Why? In both cases, Shema Yavirena Dalat Amos Prashusarabim. Perhaps he'll come to carry the lulav of the Shofar for Amos Prashusarabim. Ask the Sfasemis, how can we compare the two situations? When somebody takes the blows the shofar on Shabbos and he carries it, he's mechal Shabbos now. When somebody carries the lulav, he's mechal Shabbos. If somebody says krishma after chatzos, midaraisa he hasn't done anything wrong. The only concern is that if he says krishma after chatzos, he may not say it at all, or he may say it too late even after the morning. But you can't compare the two cases. Says the Sfasemis. Perhaps Shofar and Lulav are not good comparisons. But our Gemara is a great comparison. Here we're saying that if one used boards that are dal tefachim wide, it's a possible sukkah. Midaraisa, there's nothing wrong with this sukkah. It's only possible because somebody may come to sit in a full-fledged house. Yet even though now, when somebody's sitting in a sukkah made out of boards that are 4 tefachim wide, which with the rice there's nothing wrong, Chazal tell him don't sin in such a sukkah. So we say same thing by Krishma. Chazal, even though with the rice what he's doing is fine, Chazal tell him don't say Krishma because it may come that you'll say Krishma improperly in another occasion. Says the Mishnah, Hamakaru Sukasai, if somebody makes a roof over a sukkah, Beshvudim, with sticks of metal, or Baruchas Hamita, or with the sides of a bed. So the Mefarshim explain, the Mishnah using the word Hamakara, doesn't use the word Hamasachech, because these pieces are used as support for the Schach. There's a Machloikis what Shvudim are. Rashi learns that Shvudim are sticks of metal. However, the Beis Yosef learns that they're sticks of wood. The reason the Beis Yosef doesn't agree with Rashi's Pshat, explains the Magen Avraham, is because if it's speaking about pieces of metal, we already know that pieces of metal are unacceptable for Schach, because they're not Gedulei Karka. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat it? On the other hand, the question is, if the Beis Yosef is explaining, and the Al Mishnah is speaking about pieces of wood are acceptable Schach. So the Bach says that according to the Beis Yosef, although they have their pieces of wood, they have metal tips. And since they have metal tips, they're not considered regular pieces of wood and are unacceptable. The Al-Yurabah explains the Beis Yosef that even though they're pieces of wood, since these pieces of wood are used to cook meat for a barbecue, so therefore these pieces of wood are considered tashmish l'adam, something that people use, and therefore have the status of kalim and a mekablim tumah, and are therefore unacceptable schach. Teach us the Mishnah. im yesh revach beinayim kamoisim. If in between the non-kosher schach there are empty spaces that we could put kosher schach, kshera, then the sukkah is kosher, which is shown in diagram 82. Teaches us the Mishnah another din, hachoitet begodish, if somebody hollows out a haystack, lasts like sukkah, and creates a sukkah in that hollowed place, and a sukkah, it's not a kosher sukkah, as shown in diagram 83. This is the classical case of tasa v'loy mina osu. The Mefarshim explained the reason the Mishnah spoke specifically when we wanted to give examples of invalid schach of the shvudin or the aruchas hamita. So the Ritva explains because these beds or these sticks were less than 3 tefachim wide. However, when we have schach that may be 3 tefachim wide, there the halacha says the Ritva, as we will learn in the Gemara further, it may be that you're never allowed to sit under that area. So the Mishnah wanted to avoid such a problem about discussing the area under the Pasul Schach, so strictly spoke about Schach, that's the Pasul Schach, that's not 3 tefachim wide. Also, the Rishonim tell us that when learning this din, we have to not only concern ourselves with kosher schach versus non-kosher schach, we also have to concern ourselves with the space in between, that also is obviously not kosher, because we have to have schach covering the entire roof. The halacha is, as we learned in Masechet Erevin, that for in order for an area to be considered Rishus Hayochid, it has to be enclosed if there are breaches in the enclosure. So if the breaches are less than 3 tefachim, so then there's no problem because we say love it. If there's any breach that's 10 tefachim or more wider, that's considered a significant breach and disqualifies that entire wall. The Gemara there discusses a case where the breached area and the closed area are exactly equal, as is shown in diagram 84. Says the Gemara, "Lema tehevet yufta Rafuna b'Rav Yeshua." Perhaps our Mishnah should serve as a refutation to Rafuna b'Rav Yeshua's psak. Ditma, we learned parutz kaimed. When we have an enclosed area which is equally closed and equally walled, equally open, Rapapama mutter, that's considered an acceptable wall. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua says, also, it's not considered enclosed. Our Mishnah says that the area with the schach and the area with the kosher schach and the area with the posel schach are exactly equal. And yet, our Mishnah says that that's considered properly closed. So we see that equal is fine. The Gemara Masechet Erevin explains what is the basis of the machloikis between Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua. The basis of the machloikis is, how do we look at an area that's exactly equally walled or closed? What did the Torah require for such an area? Did the Torah require that for an area to be closed, a Rosh Hashanah, it has to be mostly closed? This area isn't mostly closed, it's only half closed. Or does the Torah say for it not to be enclosed, it has to be mostly open? And this area is not mostly open. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not a refutation. Because Omer of Huna b'Rav Yeshua, my k'maisim, what does our Mishnah mean when it says that we'll have area of kosher schach and posel schach, benichnas v'yoytze? It'll be discussing a situation where the gaps between the posel schach are large enough to allow for insertion and removal of the schach. So since you have all this room, so therefore it's a proof that there's more space for the kosher schach than for the posel schach, and that's why it's a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara, and in this next piece of Gemara, there are three ways of learning. First, we're going to learn Rashi's way. V'efshel etzam tzeim. Throughout halacha, throughout Shasta, there's a question, can things be done exact? Says the Gemara, you're assuming, in explaining our Mishnah, says the Gemara to Rav Huna, that it's impossible to be exact. It's impossible to have a situation where there's exactly the same amount of kosher schach and posel schach.
So tomorrow it is possible to be exact. So why not explain that the Mishnah is speaking about that case? Says the Gemara, Amar of Ami b'Madif. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where somebody has more room for the kosher schach than for the posel schach. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara's kash and teretz. Ask Tosfos Rashi, if that's the explanation, what is Rav Ami adding to what we learned previously? When he says the words madif, isn't that the same as saying nichnas v'yotze? So according to Rashi's explanation, what's the shak levataria? Says the Ritva, that the Gemara before learned that he put in that there's more room for the kosher schach than for the posel schach. But the Gemara didn't explain how we achieve that. Says the Gemara, says the Ritva, what is Rav Ami teaching us? That what the person here did was he bunched together more of the posel schach to lessen the area for posel schach, and obviously by that increase the area for kosher schach. So it's not just that he put in more kosher schach than posel schach. He created a situation that there should be more room for kosher schach than for posel schach. Rav Amar, Rav however says, afil tam b'she'ein madif. We don't have to explain that he made more room for kosher schach. Im hayin sunas shasi, rather, if the non-kosher schach were placed crosswise, nois and erif, then he puts the valid schach lengthwise on top of the non-kosher schach, erif, and if the spits, if the shvuda were put lengthwise, nois and shasi, he puts them crosswise, again, they take up more room, and you have more kosher schach than posel schach, which is shown in diagram 85. And Rashi says that what is Rav accomplishing with his approach? Because in the approach of Rav Ami, especially the way we explained Rashi, it involves bunching together the posel schach to make more room for the kosher schach. That isn't always doable, or isn't going to always be successfully doable. That's why Rav gives us an approach that is always doable. Put the kosher schach on top of the posel schach, and therefore you know you have more kosher schach than posel schach. However, the Rishonim point out, the Mefarshim point out, we will discuss later that there is a question if one can be maimed, one can support the kosher schach with something which is not kosher for schach. Here, the kosher schach is being supported by something that's not kosher for schach. Says the Karbon Nisanel. From here we see that there is no problem to be maimed kosher schach with something that's posel for schach. Other mefarshim say that this is not a valid proof. They're saying that it doesn't necessarily cover it completely and it doesn't necessarily serve as a support. Tosfos, as we said, was unhappy with Rashi's pshat because his question was, what was Rav Ami adding over what we learned before from Rav Huna? Therefore, he explains that what Rav Ami is teaching us is that by putting on extra mamadif, doesn't mean extra space, it means extra schach. And by putting on extra schach, your mevatel, the kosher schach, is mevatel, the posel schach, and that's why it's an acceptable situation. However, asked the Mefarshim, according to Tosfos's approach, what is Rav telling us more than Rav Ami? Rav is also telling us that I should put more kosher schach than posel schach. So the Mefarshim explained, as Fasemis explains, that what Rav is adding over Rav Ami, according to Tosfos, is Rav Ami says just have some extra schach stick out to the sides. Rav says just having some extra schach stick out over the sides is inadequate. You have to have that the extra schach completely, to a degree, cover the posel schach, and like that, I'll be certain that the kosher schach is mevatel the posel schach. However, as I said, the third approach is the Rabbeinu Chananel's approach. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the Gemara's question is just the opposite. Voy ef shelo tzamtzem. It's impossible that we should have a situation that it should be equal kosher schach over parcel schach. We can't always be exact, and maybe we'll have more parcel than kosher if we can't be exact. To that, Rav Ami says, what the person does is ma'adif, he puts on specifically, like we learned in Rashi, he purposely makes the area for the kosher schach better, like that he's guaranteed not to have more parcel than kosher. Or Rav's approach is that you should spread the kosher schach over the parcel schach. And again, you're guaranteed that since you never know which is bigger, he'll know for sure that the kosher schach ends up being bigger than the parcel schach. The Mishnah said that another example of something which cannot be used for schach is beruches hamita, on the sides of the bed, which is shown in diagram 86. Lame Masailah of Avim Batavumi. Perhaps, says the Gemara, our Mishnah should be a raya to what Avimi Batavumi said. Domer Avimi Batavumi. Sikha bevloi kalim. If somebody covered the sukkah with worn out clothing, psula. So here too, says the Gemara, since we started with the sides of the bed, although that they're currently dismantled, yet our Mishnah is saying that such is pasul schach. It must be that since they were once posel, when they were part of the bed, which was a keli, they remain invalid forever. There's a machloikis Rashi and Rambam how to explain this din, that if something was once a piece of clothing, which this din we'll discuss more in the next year, it remains invalid for schach forever. Rashi explains that since these kalim came from something which is once a keli, it retains that status even when it's no longer a full-fledged keli. The Rambam, however, explains that the concern is that if we will allow you to use torn, worn-out, small pieces of material, you may come to use even material that's still a kabbal tumah. What is the nafgamina? What are some possible nafgaminas between Rashi and the Rambam? So one nafkamina I saw is, what will happen if somebody will make a stick of wood out of a ground up or broken up piece of keli? According to Rashi, since this once was a keli, the Mishnah is teaching us it had that chshivas, it had that significance, and it never loses that significance, that piece of schach would be unacceptable. However, according to the Rambam, it's only when one may come to believe that you could still use a full-fledged keli. Nobody's going to make that mistake, that connect this piece of wood that was made out of pressed wood that came up from ground kalim to believe that you could use a regular keli. Another example that could be an area of dispute between Rashi and Rambam is if someone planted a vegetable in an otzot she'en hanokef, in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole on the bottom. So according to the Rambam, who's always concerned that a person may make a mistake, so you shouldn't be allowed to use that vegetable. Even though this particular vegetable is not gedulei karka, doesn't grow from the ground, and no one will make that mistake, even though it grows from the ground and it's not mekabel tumah, so according to Rashi, it's fine. But according to Rambam, somebody can make a mistake, and therefore it's unacceptable. Another possible nafkamina could be if we grind up food. According to Rashi, since this was originally food, and Rashi tells us that anything that once had the status of oichel or keli, it remains that posel for schach, even when it loses it, so we cannot use that for schach. According to the Rambam, something which is obviously not food anymore, and nobody's going to make a mistake to consider it food, could be acceptable for schach. There's an interesting machloikus hachroinim. What would be the halacha if something was only mekabel tumah midrabbanon, and now it loses the status? Will Rav Ami Ben Tavumi's din still be applicable? The Bikur Yaakov says that if something was only tameh midrabbanon, then Rav Ami's din is certainly not said. And the Magen Avraham says that the Gemara doesn't differentiate between something that was disqualified because it was mekabel tumah derabbanon, or something was disqualified because it was mekabel tumah deraisa. It was mekabel tumah. Our Gemara, Rav Avami, is teaching us, says that even when it changes, it's still disqualified. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah is not necessarily a proof to Rav Ami, because we can explain our Mishnah. Could the Amr Rav Chanan Amir Rebbe, Barucha v'shtei krai miktsara, it refers to the long side with two legs. Barucha v'shtei krai with the long side with two short legs, or miktsara or the short side v'shtei krai with two legs. Hachanami, that's what I'm going to explain. Barucha v'shtei krai miktsara. And such are still usable kalim, and since they're usable kalim, we have no proof to a situation where the kalim are no longer usable. Ask the Gemara, where do we say this context? In what context do we learn this halacha that there's such a din? Says the Gemara, the Tanan, there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in kalim, Mita metamas chavila. The frame of a bed contracts tuma only when it's a whole bed. Umetaheres chavila. It can only become tar only as a unit. The Rebbe Lezer. I mean, the coin to Rebbe Lezer, the frame of a bed is a keli, and it's susceptible to tumas medris only when it's fully assembled. Furthermore, teaches us Rebbe Lezer, it must be assembled in order to be tar by being put into a mikveh. If it was taken apart after becoming tamei and then put into the mikveh section by section, the tefillah is not effective. V'chomayim mitameres avarim, it can become tamei even when it's divided into section, or mitaheres avarim, and it becomes tar even when it's in sections. Ask the Gemara, what sections do the chachamim mean? My nihu, Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rebbe, Aruch v'shtei kroyim, the long side with two legs, or Ktsar v'shtei kroyim, or the short side with two legs. Ask the Gemara, obviously the Chachamim will hold that it can become Tamei, even when it's just this section, because obviously they still consider it a keli, still consider it a utensil, but the question is, L'may Chazia, what's it usable if it's not a whole frame of a bed? Says the Gemara, L'may one can bring them close to a wall or the mace of Elayu and sit on them, or Mishda Ashli, or somebody could weave ropes between them and the wall and lie on the ropes. Since they're fit to be used for sitting or lying, they can still contract tumah, which this is shown in diagram 87. So Chum teaches us that they can be, you could be mitahar a keli even when it's in sections, or it comes tummy when it's sections, because they're still usable. And that's going to be the case of our Mishnah. And therefore, there is no proof to Rav Ami that of something that was once mekabel tumah remains in that status forever, even when it's broken. Because our Mishnah, it's not broken, it's still usable.